Queridos hermanos y hermanas, your friends, you know, one of the disappointments in my years as a priest is that I had such limited involvement in parish life over these years. Only 2 years at St. Mary's in Elm Grove, at a time when parish had 1,300 kids in the parish grade school. It was a wonderful period of time. But over these years, because then went off to study, taught in the seminary, then 35 years ago this past week, became an auxiliary bishop here in Milwaukee. Over these years, very few weddings and baptisms. Lots of confirmations. I figure maybe 60,000 people I've been privileged to confirm. Blessed 47 churches, new churches and chapels. Have had lots of funerals. I keep a list, as a matter of fact, in the back of my funeral book of the names and the places and the dates of people for whom I have had a funeral committed to the Lord. But very few weddings and baptisms. And I've always thought that those were privileged opportunities for a parish priest to get to know the whole family. I mean, not just the immediate family, but the characters who linger at the bar at the back of the hall for weddings, and those who gather in the kitchen, the eccentric, colorful people, part of the family. And I never wanted to take that away from the parish priest. It just seemed like that was a special kind of blessing. And so I would say, well, you know, if I do it for one, I have to do it for all, and that's true, but there was a deeper sense about it all. So the end result is that in terms of family life, I've never had the privilege of being a part of a lot of weddings and baptisms, which is probably why I treasure so much my own family and why I take a moment now to share the fact that in my family, Slovak heritage, we have this long tradition of a very special Christmas Eve gathering. And the tradition, as a matter of fact, goes in both sides of the family back through my grandparents to their grandparents, and we do the very same menu gathering on Christmas Eve as they did in the old country, as we say. A ritual that's really quite moving. Because it begins with whoever is the head of the family. I've suddenly become the patriarch in my own family. But it begins with put the sign of the cross in honey on the forehead of all the people around the table, and then sharing apples and oranges that once was just an enormously expensive delicacy treat. Walnuts blessed, thrown into the corner of four corners, blessing the house again each year. We have the wafer, the oplatki. I playfully say the Poles stole it from us with honey, but we have a special variation that everybody has to have a piece of garlic on that wafer with the honey. And when young people say, well, what's that mean? I don't like it. I say, well, you know, a lot of things in life you don't like. That's what it means. But then, oh, fish and two kinds of soup and a special poppy soup. It's a very wonderful thing. Do it every year, no other time of the year. All of that comes to mind because it is the feast of the Holy Family. And because this morning's gospel brings us into the very heart of a very special family whose members include us. It is a Jewish family, and a very devout Jewish family, conscious that a child is truly a gift from God, eager to fulfill the requirements of the law, ancient customs, that would have them travel on foot 60 miles maybe from their home to Jerusalem in order to go through a ritual that presented the child to the temple, recognizing that if they had a child, it was kind of leased or rented, if you will, that the child, all children, all people belong to God, not to us. And so Mary and Joseph offered the traditional offering back to God that bought him back, in a sense, rented the baby, a pair of pigeons, because they were poor. And that was sacrificed. Luke's gospel is quite clear from the get-go, as we say, that the family of Jesus was larger than it might seem. That it even included the people who were members of the temple community in Jerusalem. People like Mr. Simeon or Mrs. Anna. Good, holy elders, perpetual fixtures in the temple, whose whole lives were spent in waiting and watching and working for God's future. They were the ones who gathered at the moment of the baby's presentation. Luke wants us to know that. The family, representatives of the family, were there. They were the ones who made a point of remembering the larger picture. Simeon speaking about Jews and Gentiles, even at that point. Maybe he was positioned at a certain point in the temple layout that he could look through the porticos and see what was called the court of the Gentiles, because Gentiles were welcome in the temple to a certain set of steps. But also, you know, talking about the inevitability of opposition and contradiction. So even at the beginning, the cross is there. And then there's Anna, who is so delighted with the whole business that she's filled with the hope of the future. She's not one who says it used to be better. She's one who always looks forward to what God can do, much to our surprise. Sometimes we playfully say that friends, those people who show up early in life and last a lifetime, they are God's way of apologizing for our family. And we playfully say it. Maybe it's true. We all have folks we really treasure in our life beyond the circle of our families. Maybe from school, way back when, or from work, or neighborhood. Jesus made a point of saying at some point or other that his real mother and brothers and sisters were those who heard the word of God and lived it. So the family is bigger in the gospel than just a genealogy and a tree. Families come in all shapes and sizes. We know that. We look at our own and think about the Christmas card list that we just finished reviewing. All kinds of, and the hot, so-called hot button issues of our current day just remind us that there are a lot of issues that are bigger than we initially think of when we talk about family. All shapes and sizes. That means that Holy Family Sunday is more extended. That God expects us not only to live with those we care about, but to care about those we live with. And that includes people we might not have chosen. And God asks us to care about them and to love them in that sense. We can't help but thank God for all of it. And then immediately, this day and age, think of the first phase of the Synod on the Family that just concluded in Rome this past October, which took place in Rome, as I say, and was kind of a free conversation that was fresh and chaotic, like any family supper conversation, I guess, that included lots of outreach to considerations that need to be present in the conversation. Because every family is a bit frayed at the edges. Every family needs some of God's compassion and mercy. And so many fractured, broken families need to be cared about for whatever reason. All of us wait for the kind of healing and mercy. The church speaks the truth. with compassion and love, with respect. And all of us want God to bring us home. And not just alone, but with the others who are part of the family, however large it may be and mysterious it may be. So on Holy Family Sunday, there's just a lot of things to think about. And inevitably, they're bigger than our first list. And the gospel wants us to remember that and to hold them all as in our hearts, as we are held in the hearts of other people, much to our surprise.